lot of individuals view them on some level as voluntary taxes. Certainly, if you don't consume cigarettes or alcohol yourself, these taxes seem great because you don't actually have to pay them. So certainly you can avoid taxes fairly easily by not consuming the good. There's also, I think, some people view some of these activities as immoral on some level or bad. And so I think partly for these reasons, at least, politicians find it at least a lot less unpopular to raise taxes on these goods as opposed to, say, raising an income tax or a sales tax, which is going to affect everybody.
They tend to try to target or earmark the money that's going to be raised by increasing these taxes to something like maybe schools or cigarettes and tobacco products. You raise the tax on that, you put it toward anti-tobacco programs. That also, I guess, makes it more palatable?
Yes, I think that's exactly right. Well, not only are we discouraging smoking directly by raising the tax on cigarettes, we state that we're using the revenue to then, you know, help at-risk youth not take up smoking.
We're not talking about a huge amount of money that's going to help the state dig out of its financial hole. So when people talk about increasing these taxes, it's really just a drop in the bucket to what the state's problems really are.
What I did in my research is I said, well, let's see how much money could we actually raise with these taxes, given that they're a lot easier to raise than sales taxes or income taxes. How much money are we talking about? So what I did is I considered some modest increases in cigarette taxes and taxes on alcohol. So this is on beer, on wine, and on spirits, and as well as a modest tax increase on gambling. If I take the rosy set of estimates, these are estimates where I assume, you know, nobody is going to be able to avoid these taxes by, for example, shopping in neighboring states. Then I estimate that, you know, together these tax hikes could raise on the order of $330 million per year, which seems like a decent amount of money, and it is. But if we compare this to the annual budget shortfall that the state is facing, which a lot of estimates say is going to be about, you know, $14 billion by 2025, we're talking about something that cannot solve that problem.
We're talking about sin taxes. Those projections that you came up with paint a pretty rosy picture for the state being able to access all of the money that's projected. But in reality, people do go across state lines to buy cigarettes or they go somewhere else to gamble. That's really not a likely scenario that the state can achieve all of that revenue.
Yes, I agree. I would view these estimates as upper bounds on what the state could bring in with these taxes. And of course, the amount of tax avoidance is going to depend how the tax is implemented. And also where in the state you're looking at. I think we see this in Chicago in particular, where on top of the for example, the state excise tax on cigarettes, there's also very large taxes at the county level and the city level. And Chicago, of course, is very close to the border with Indiana. So there it's very easy for residents to go across the state border and purchase cigarettes in another state. As the taxes get higher and higher, the incentives to cross the border in order to save money go up.